Happy Friday, guys. DGS and KMOX, 2 minutes past 4 p.m. Our pal George Mayhew's here from St. Louis Magazine. Good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
On the scooter?
On the scooter. Boy, it's a prime scooter.
Phenomenal day.
Scooter weekend.
Yeah.
On the scooter.
Patio weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know where I had dinner last night? It's one of my favorite places. I've only been there a couple times the last couple of years, but Nick and his buddy Ray and I sat on the patio at Frazier's Brown Bag.
Love it.
Love it. Love the food.
It's a great spot, and that, you know, that's a good place. That's a good wintertime bar too for some restaurant. It has that kind of inside vibe that's really cozy. Mm-hmm. You sit at the bar, and the bartender there is very talented, and he's a big showman.
Yeah,
it's just a, you know, inside or out. Yeah, that's one of those kind of places that's been around so long that people forget about.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was talking to me about that the other night. You know, would you bring a group of, you know, 6 or 8 people to Frazier's? I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's still a great restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but boy, yeah, it's patio time. Take advantage of it because, you know, it can revert to what we just had really quickly.
You bet.
And then we just take it. We're all sitting like, oh, this is great. And, well, it is for a minute.
Yeah. So a couple things to talk about today. You wanted to talk about, I want to get into like times you've thrown people out of your restaurants. That's awesome. But let's start with like reasonable wait times and reasonable times to be served and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when you sit down at a table, everybody's got their own impression of how long it should take for the server to come up. And if you're hungry, that time thing gets totally through, you know, hangry is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
And so you always have to kind of temper it with that. And if you're sitting there yakking with your friends, you're a little bit more, you know, forgiving. But, you know, my contention is always, you know, the server should get there immediately, if possible, at least to acknowledge you, even to say,
see ya.
Hey, how are you? I'll be right back. That's all the people need. But ideally, that server should come and grab a drink order in that time, too. But, you know, that's the time, you know, and somebody said, well, give me a time. I said, okay, 5 minutes is the time. 5 minutes, I think, is a reasonable time. And I think after 10 minutes, you should start thinking about it. And you should start not just thinking about it, but start looking around. And if everybody else is looking around and not eating, you might want to reconsider the whole program. And I've done that. I could head on a swivel and like, wait, this place is in the weeds. I don't want to participate in it. If we're going to wait,
can you pretty much feel it when you walk in now?
I can, and I think if you train yourself to do it, you can see it from the host stand. You can see it from the front. Have people smiling and everything cool, or is everybody just got that look on their face and furrowed brows? And
Wheels, you seem like you would have a short.
Oh, I don't have any weight. No. I mean, like I would say that the 10 minutes probably. If it's that long, I'm gone already. If somebody hasn't acknowledged me. Like sometimes at a place that's well run, if they're super busy, even the person that's seating you will be like, can I put in a drink order for you? Your server's going to be here in a minute. Very busy. You can see blah, blah, blah. Like that, there's all kinds of great ways to handle it. But if it's, I don't know, 5 minutes seems like a lot to just not be acknowledged.
And you know, and what I've done in the past that does work, and a lot of people won't do it, is if it gets to that, flag the manager down.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, you know, we've been here and, you know, just plead your case. And all of a sudden, things change dramatically if you just let the guy know that, you know, you've been sitting here. And all of a sudden, you're the, you know, all eyes are on you and they really want to take care of you. So
how much can you complain before you become a problem as opposed to a focus?
I think it depends on what you're complaining about. If you got a legit complaint, you can go a long way. You know, they'll reel out the line to you. But if it's something, you know, I just did something today. People that order a dish, eat the dish, and then complain about the dish and won't pay for the dish.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you eat it, you pay for it. That's the rule. If you're going to complain about it, don't wait till you've eaten half or three quarters or all of it. That's, you know, your argument is thrown out the window. And there's a lot of, that happens a lot, believe
it's a
it or
scam.
Not. Well, it is a scam.
They're trying to get a free meal.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are looking to get a free meal or get some acknowledgement.
It would not be worth the drama to me.
Well, right. And,
I'm with you.
And me too. And I'm the last, and that's one of my things too. If something is wrong, I'm one of the last, but you think I'd be one of the first? If it's, you know, my soup's cold or my salad doesn't have enough dressing, fine, they can take care of that quickly. But if you've got to recook a whole steak or it's a major operation, I usually just suck it up and just kind of deal with it.
Me too.
And I will deal with it maybe the next day with the management, which is the way I choose to do it, because I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to be the killjoy at the table. I don't want all the focus to come to me whose steak was screwed up, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know if a lot of people think that way or not. I know you're pretty non-confrontational.
Completely.
Yeah.
When I was just in Colorado with Phoebe, we went to this place, really good steakhouse. We've been there every time that we go, and I got a prime rib, medium rare, and it was well done. And I just ate it.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people just say no. And management would say, darn it, Dave, you should have said something. We would have made it better. But for me, I don't want to do it. And just call them the next day. They'll make it up to you just like they were going to do the night before. They'll give you a comp and they'll say, come back and do
that?
All.
Let's say that you're not a scammer. Is it reasonable to just get what you paid for, or should you expect a little extra? We're going to take that off your bill.
Well, they definitely take it off your bill, but you always, you know, nowadays, they overcompensate. You know, they will say, we're not only going to take it off your bill, we're going to give you a gift card because we really do want you to come back, and we don't want you to write a bad Yelp review. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's some of that there's social media pall hanging over them, too, that everybody knows about, and those Yelp reviews, those one-star guys do not go away, so management and ownership will do anything to prevent that from happening, but I always will call the place the next day, call them, not email them, not text them. You've got, you know, there's issues with that.
Do you pull the George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine?
I do, because I'm a customer at this point like anybody else. And I said, you know, however, I'm your best, for something to go wrong, I am the best guy for it to happen to, because I understand, and that's why I'm calling you. I'm not going to tell everybody else. I'm not going to write about it, but you need to know this. And I really think that's the way to go, because they will compensate you the way they were going to do the night before. It's the same thing. You've just put it off. And they're upset that they couldn't deal with it at the time, but they'd rather hear about it later than not at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are most managers pretty good?
Yes. And
by the time you make it to that level?
Yeah, because they know that they have to be good, or they can't be, you know, upsetting people at that point, or they're going to get a double bad review. You know, not only do we not like the food, but the manager's a jerk. Oh man, there's nothing worse, and that's hard to.
Yeah,
that's a hard hole to dig your way out of. But
and what about that when you get that person that you're like, okay, we're going to have trouble here. You know, whether it's they complain too much, or they're rude to your staff, or you think they're scamming you, like.
I remember telling Rachel this. I think when we did the interview, we had a policy that, you know, it was a challenge to turn somebody like that. And we call it flipping the table. If we could flip that attitude around, it was the best feeling in the world. And whether it's the server or the bartender or the manager, if you could get a table from being a jerk and complaining and having a bad time to all of a sudden having a good time, that's better than serving them a perfect meal, because you've turned their night around. And I don't know why people come in, you know, just bitching and moaning and yelling at their table mates, but it happens. And there was just, I just remember that. And, you know, the server would come back and he goes, I just flipped that table. I went, oh, it's so good.
That's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's, you know, and I just think that you get some, you know, some sleep and sobriety. That changes things for you, for, you know, talking to people the next day. Maybe you'll see it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So I say wait. And like I said, most of my owner-manager friends will disagree with me on that one.
Well, you typically, even if someone's being a bad person, will you eventually just comp their bill just to get them out of your restaurant?
Most of the time, yeah. And a lot of people will say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold the line. I was right. Yeah, you were. But, you know, what's the cost of that?
Yeah.
The social media cost just isn't worth it. So, it's still a rough game to play. And you know, but we were talking about throwing people out of restaurants. 95 times out of 100, it's alcohol.
Yeah.
It's alcohol.
It's like on a plane.
Yeah. And it's just the way it is. And there's been a few times when it hasn't been, but I was thinking about this. I thought, man, I can count on one hand. But one of them I talked about today is when is when Jerry Berger, do you remember Berger?
Yeah.
For the people of a certain age will remember. And he was one of the most powerful guys in town because he was the gossip columnist. And everybody, when they got their Post-Dispatch in the morning, they'd turn to his column before they'd read the front page.
Yep.
And we had people that would come in. He's not even the food critic. He was the gossip columnist. And holding his column up and waving it in the air, and they said, do you have the Beef Wellington tonight? I'd like what, basically, I want what he just had.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, boy, is that a powerful guy.
Yeah.
He's not even the food guy, and he's got people wanting, you know, what he had. But he came in one night, and he pretty much got his way because he knew he could. And he's smoking, right? Trademark cigarette. This is at Harvest. This is at the bar, where at the time, smoking was allowed at the bar, but not in the restaurant.
Yeah.
That's how it's all started, if you remember. Oh, we allow it in the bar, not in the restaurant. So he gets called to his table. I seat him at the prime table in the house, table number 53, right by the fireplace where he had to be. And he's got his cigarette in his hand. And he's walking with the cigarette, and I sit him down. I said, Jerry, I said, you know, you got to put that cigarette out, man. Sorry. And everybody was, Babe, right? Babe, just bring me an ashtray. That's what he said. I remember it like it was yesterday. I went, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get. And meanwhile, this is in the middle of the room, and I can feel 85 sets of eyeballs on me. Like, how is this going to end? And I thought, you know, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. And I just said something like, Jerry, let's you and I walk back to the bar, and we're just going to talk about this a little bit. And I said, and I will hold that table, that prime table, for as long as you want it held. And that's what I told him, and he did it.
He did it.
We walked back to the bar. He smoked the rest of his cigarette. And I just said, you know, I put in that article, I said, I felt like money changing hands, like the young kid, you know, the young minority owner of the restaurant just beat out Jerry Berger. But
that's pretty great.
We had a lot of instances like that. I remember one night he was on the phone, and I had the governor on the phone too. This was, you know, remember, Harvest was crazy. The lines were busy all the time. You couldn't get in, so people were always trying to scam their way in. And they said, George, you got the governor, you know, on the line, and you got Jerry Berger online too. I said, let me talk to Berger. And Berger got the table.
That's the first time I ever felt famous, was the first time I was in Jerry's column.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
It is a big deal. And anyway.
Do you still have, like in the old days of Tony's, where you had the consummate maitre d'? Everyone knew this guy or that guy, and he was the most charming person you'd ever met. Has that gone by the wayside, or is there just a new generation of that?
It's kind of gone by the wayside. A lot of those guys have gotten older and retired, and there aren't as many, you know, Vince Bomaritos as there used to be. And that's too bad.
Was he the best you ever saw?
He was pretty smooth, yeah. He actually had a maitre d' that was good, too, but he was the best at what we call table touching. He was just... He was just really
smooth.
Paul Mono's
pretty good.
He is, Vince would, you know, he'd come up and he had that voice like this, and he kind of sounded like the Godfather. And you had to, so when he was at the table, you could see everybody leaning in because he talked in that low voice, and it was just really funny.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he's rearranging your silverware and just everything so as he's talking to you and telling stories. And yeah, he was about the best in the business, I think. And I really missed when he passed away. But yeah.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks. See ya.
425 DGS, happy Friday. I just asked Wheels on the Break, hey, you got a Cardinal segment in you? And then Matt Pauly walked in.
And we're like, woohoo!
I'm not worried at all.
Not only do we have a segment, buddy.
So you have some news.
Yeah, did you see this, Matt?
No.
So this is just, I saw it reported, John Denton from MLB.com, and then Katie Wu had it as well. But Ryan Helsley and Matt Carpenter are not at the ballpark in Atlanta. Their flights were messed up by the stuff today.
Oh,
wow.
So they're not there. Willie McGee's not there. Daniel Descalso. So they've been having travel issues. The hope is that they will arrive before the game or during the game.
Everyone's coming from wherever they're
at. Right, because on the All-Star break, you're all coming from different places.
Okay.
So right now, Matt Carpenter, Ryan Helsley, Daniel Descalso, Willie McGee, not at the ballpark, and it sounds like they're hoping that at least some of them might arrive during the game.
Jeez.
Now, Helsley, you don't need till the ninth inning.
Right.
He's got some time. And coaches, you can work around. It's, you know, you don't want to be short, but that sucks.
I mean, at least it's not Brendan Donovan and
it's not Sonny Gray.
Yeah,
like, that would be worse if it was your starting pitcher. It would.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. That has to affect pretty much all the teams.
I can't imagine this will be the only team or only situation where this happened today.
You know, when I worked in minor league baseball doing AAA ball, everybody flew commercial at AAA when I was in the Pacific Coast League, and there would be times where the equipment was too heavy for the plane and all the equipment would get pulled off. And then we would have to postpone games simply because guys' equipment had not arrived yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it where that's happened and like they borrow the equipment from the home team.
Yeah. Do you love AAA? Is it like just part of your heart doing it so long?
I love minor league baseball. I don't love AAA. AAA is the worst level of minor league baseball. Nobody wants to be there.
Yeah.
Because you're either back down from the big leagues or you're one step away from the big leagues. The only guys who want to be there are the guys who just got called from AA. And in about 2 weeks, they don't want to be there anymore.
It is
a toxic environment at AAA.
There are teams that will not put their top prospects in AAA because of that.
You know, I've asked you about a few top prospects, like Dylan, from LSU last year, and you're like, yeah, AA.
Oh, Dylan Cruz, yeah.
And I was wondering, like, well, why wouldn't you immediately go to AAA? That explains a lot.
It depends on their know that clubhouse. I mean, they get reports from the staff. So if it's a clubhouse where you've got some disgruntled veterans or whatever, a lot of teams will try to avoid that.
Most of my time at AAA was in the Rockies organization, and they're not exactly known for good decisions, and they just had terrible people all over the place. It just made it
if the team in the major leagues is good, I think they all are like, well, we're stuck. But sometimes if they're bad, they're all like, well, why am I not getting the call? They suck.
How long can someone spend in AAA typically?
Mm-hmm. Career.
Yeah. After you're done with 6-year free agency, there's lifetime AAAers who are going to make six figures a year being in AAA. Now, when you're still under your first contract after coming in, you're making peanuts.
Yeah.
But once you get to a point that you're a 6-year free agent, if you're viewed kind of as a AAA guy, you can go make good money as a AAA ball player.